Okay then. Chulin is a gigantic mesecht, as you know. And yeah, what we want to study is the eighth perek of Chulin, and that's the perek of Basa B'Cholov, which is called Kol HaBasa. The perek before this, the seventh perek, is Gid HaNoshe. And Gid HaNoshe itself is a perek that divides into two parts. The first half are the laws of Gid HaNoshe per se, and the second half really begins the sugis of Tarovis, and that's called Yerech Shenizbashel Bagid, when they cooked the part of the basar that has the gid inside, and they didn't take out the gid, so the taste of the gid penetrates into the yerech. So that's tarovis, you know, when you have the taste of Isur in het. That's the second half of Gid HaNoshe. Now, one thing that the Mishnah goes out of its way to emphasize in Gid HaNoshe is that this Isur applies bein ba'aretz and bein b'chutz la'aretz, whether it be in Eretz Yisrael or in chutz la'aretz. And it applies bein b'chu and bein b'mukdashim. In other words, you have a behema that was sanctified for Hegdesh, and that also is included in the Isur. So that's the question. Well, what is that all about? In any event, when we learn the Mishnah here at the beginning of the 8th Perek, which is the Isur Basa B'Cholov, we're not going to find any of that discussion. The Mishnah is just going to jump right into it, and let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol HaBasar Asur Levashel B'Cholov Chutz MiBsar Dogim V'Chagovim. Notice that the Mishnah begins with the word Kol. And whenever you see the word kol, what do you learn from the word kol? This is a rule of thumb throughout Shas. What does the word kol indicate? Correct, that there's something that you would have excluded, and there was a havamina to leave it out. Kol mashmalon, the Mishnah teaches you kol. And basically what we're talking about is the word basar here. First of all, the word basar is a little bit out of place. What do I mean? Tosus at the very beginning of Shas in Brachos Daf Beis points out that the style of the Mishnah is to try to use language that's indicated or used by the Torah itself. There's a relation between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And we ought to be very sensitive to that distinction. Sometimes we have to be sensitive to the words of the Torah Shebichsav themselves. You know, why does the Torah use certain words that we don't use? For example, if I were to ask you for the Lashon Kodesh word for a document, what would come to your mind by sheer association? A shtar, correct? And yet there's an entire Masechta that deals with shtaris, and it's not called Masechta Shtaris. It's called Masechta Gittin. And the question is, why does the Torah, and the Mishnah, of course, following in the footsteps of the Torah, use the word get rather than the word shtar? Is get a specific type of shtar? Or does the word get somehow indicate something about a shtar, the nature of a shtar, and so forth and so on? So very often, we're not sensitive enough to the use of language. In the Torah, you won't find the word basar in this context. What word will you find? Gedi. Right? Lo savashel gdi b'chalev imo. And the question that we want to raise is, why does the Mishnah use the word basar instead of gdi? And what's the obvious answer?
Gdi is too limited.
Correct? We would have come to the mistaken conclusion that the Isur of basar b'chalev only applies to gdi b'chalev. Lo savashel gdi b'chalev imo. And therefore the Mishnah goes out of its way to expand beyond gdi to include basar. I mean, Moshe Lamad Dover Domeh, in the parsha that we read that we'll read a Mirtzei Hashem this Shabbos, you know, the Torah is going to talk about Kilas Hashem Tolui. And Kilas Hashem might refer only to someone who's Mekalas Hashem. How do you know that it refers to other criminals? And Rashi says it refers to Kol HaNiskolim. And the Gemara and the Mishnah is going to say it refers to all Jewish corpses that have to be buried. So here too, the Torah used the word Gedi. Obviously the Torah deliberately chose the word Gedi, but the Mishnah leaves out the word Gedi so that we don't come to the mistaken conclusion that we're only talking about Gedi. But when we go beyond the confines of a Gedi, how far are we willing to go? For example, we can set up five different categories of meat, so to speak, in the broadest term. Number one, we could talk about behema. Number two, we could talk about chaya. Number three, we could talk about oaf. Number four, we could talk about dogim. Number five, we could talk about shkotzim, veramosim, the crawling creatures. Is that also considered basar? Or to use the Mishnaic term, chagovim. Now, notice that with regard to all five categories, we can talk about what's called tahora. Tahora means kshera, that which we're allowed to eat. Even with regard to chagovim, there are certain chagovim that we're allowed to eat. There are still a few Yemenites around, not too many, from the old country that eat chagovim. You and I might not be so excited to do so. In the Far East, they seem to have it for breakfast, lunch, and supper. Be that as it may, chaya also. There are certain chayos tahoros, not too many. A tzvi, for example, I don't know if you've ever eaten venison. I ate it once, I didn't like it. It cost $50 for a little piece, but I wasn't paying the bill. That's the only reason I ate it. I was being treated. So in all these five categories, we have something called heter. On the other hand, we have a behema tmeya. We have chaya tmeya. We have plenty of chagovim that we can't eat, plenty of fish that we can't eat. So, and plenty of ofos that we can eat. So the question is, when the Mishnah addresses what exactly is basar, as we expand it from gedi, we're going to have to ask ourselves a number of questions. Are we dealing with only behema? Are we dealing with chaya? Are we dealing with of? Are we dealing with dogim? Are we dealing with chagovim? And then at the same time, even if I grant you that we're dealing with all the above, are they only the ksherim, or they apply even to the asurim? Now, what would be the resistance, if you will, to apply it even to a behema tmeya or a chaya tmeya, to even those which are prohibited? What would be your sort of knee-jerk response? And you put up your dukes and fight this.
By definition, you can't eat it.
Yeah, if you can't eat it anyway, who cares whether you cooked it with milk? Oh. But I do care, and I'll tell you why I care about it. And this is by way of introduction to the parak. In the case of behemah tmeah, there's no iser bishul, there's no iser hanoah. I can take a pig and I can sell it on the open market and make good bucks out of it. There's a gzeirah drabbana not to do so because we were afraid of the getting involved too much in business with those kinds of animals. But technically, it's mutter. And certainly, if somebody would make bacon and eggs, and I smell the smell of it, and I enjoy that smell, that's okay. Because bacon and eggs is an Isra Achila, it's not an Isra Hanah. Isra Hanah applies in very rare cases. For example, in the case of Klaya Kerem, in the case of Chametz Pesach, in the case of Arla, there are various cases that are rare, and now we're going to add Basar V'Cholov to the list. But Behemah Tmeah per se is Mutar Banah. And that's true for Dogim Tmeim, it's true for Chagovim Tmeim, it's true for Of Tami. These are all Mutar Banah. And certainly they're Mutar Bishal. In fact, the only Iser Bishal that I know of, and I hope I'm not misleading you here, because I don't know of any other Iser Bishal, with the exception of, the only case is Basar V'Cholov. So Basar V'Cholov is really a very unique category within the constellation called Macholas Asuros, in which you have a combination of not only an Isra Achila, which is true for all Macholas Asuros, but in addition you have an Isra Bishal, which only exists in this case to the best of my knowledge. Of course there's an Isra Bishal on Shabbos, but that's because it's one of the 39 Malachas. but not in any other case of Isa. We have, actually, there is one case of Machol Sus that's a little bit similar. It's vaguely reminiscent of Bishul. And that applies in the case of Klai HaKerem, because Klai HaKerem, not only are you prohibited from eating Klai HaKerem, you're not even allowed to what? To create Klai HaKerem. In that sense, there's a certain, just by association, or, you know, it reminds you, you know, you could make a kind of a drush on Shabbos, you know, before Musaf and say, well, Klai HaKerem, you can't create Klai HaKerem, Basar B'Cholav, you can't create Basar B'Cholav by cooking them together. But what's unique about Basar B'Cholav is that in addition to the Isur Bishul and the Isur Achilu, we have also an Isur Anah. So you've got like the whole gamut over here. And therefore, I might be tempted to think that when the Mishnah speaks about Kol HaBasar, it means even Basar Asur, even a Behemah Tmeah. And you'll ask me, what difference makes it's already Asur? But the answer is it's not Asur B'Bishul. And the subject of our Mishnah is Bishul, right? Kol HaBasar Asur Levasho B'Cholav. So I might be tempted to interpret the word kol, l'ribuye, even a behemah tmeah. And the chiddush is that there's an isur bishul. But once having done so, if I would include a behemah tmeah in our Mishnah, in our kol habasa, as far as bishul is concerned, I might go a step further and include it even in the isur achila. No, you'll ask me, I already have an isur achila. Well, why not add another isur achila? So we got two isur achila on the same object. And that's not absolutely rare. That's quite common. Of course, you have a problem. If the two Isurim emerge simultaneously, I don't have a problem. But if they emerge, Bazech or Zeh, what's my problem? Ein Isur Chalal Isur. We have a principle that you can't impose one Isur on another Isur. Fine. So that has to be taken under advice. But if a person takes Basar Tmeah, Behemah Tmeah, and he cooks it in milk, then he's engendering an Isur Hanah. And it could be that any Isur Chalal Isur applies when the second Isur doesn't add anything to the first Isur. But if the second Isur adds something to the first Isur, namely an Isur Hanah, then Yesh Isur Chalal Isur. Because the second Isur is not just covering the same territory as the first Isur, but rather it's adding something to the first Isur that didn't exist. And that's called Yesh Isur Chalal Isur B'Mosif. Mosif means if it adds something. So again, even though, you know, Libi Omerli, my heart tells me that there should be no Isur Basar B'Cholav in Behemah Tmeah, but from a halachic perspective, I'm not sure that that's so. You'd have to prove that to me, and that's what we're going to have to deal with in this Mishnah. What is included in Kol HaBasar? Does Basar include Chayav Yof? Does Basar include Dagim? Does it include Chagavim? Once you're expanding beyond Gidi, how far do you want to go? That's going to be the subject of our Mishnah. And then even if you expand beyond Basar, beyond Behema, and you want to say the Gidi is not just a representative of the class called Behemos, but we have to include Chayos, even though Gidi is not a Chayos. And we have to include Ophos, even though Gidi is not an Oph. But the question is, are we talking about tahar, that which is permissible to eat, or even that which is prohibited? But now we're going to add an Isur Bishul, we're going to add an Isur Hanah, we're going to add another Isur Achila with regard to Basar B'Cholav. So Rashi on the Mishnah seems to be bothered by this word kol. Says Rashi, Di afal gav di omar achmana gedi. Wait a minute, what do you tell me kol HaBasar? The Torah says Gedi. Hu Adin? Now I would have written, if I were Rashi, Hu Adin kol Behema. But Rashi goes even further than that. He says, Hu Adin L'chayav Ha'of. So now we have three categories that Rashi is willing to give admittance to into the special club of Basar B'Cholav. He's willing to admit Behema, and now he's adding Chayav Ha'of. So if I took a tzvi, for example, which is a chaya, and I cooked it in milk, I violate the Isur of Basar B'Cholav. And if I take a chicken, and I cook it in milk, I violate the Isur Bishul Basar B'Cholav. That's what Rashi seems to say. But then Rashi says it's not so simple. U'miflig pligi bay pligi balakaman, Rashi here on Kuf Gimel fast forwards 10 blot Gemara to Kuf Yud Gimel, and he tells us that there's going to be a major debate on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Ika l'man di omer da oraisa ve ika l'man di omer da rabbana. Now the last three words here are a reference to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Chayav Yof is only Darabonah. On a Doraisa level, the Iser Basa B'Cholav in all its dimensions is limited to Behema and does not apply to Chayav Yof. And Rashi says that there's no need to exclude Rabbi Akiva from our Mishnah. Who's the author of our Mishnah? So you and I would say the author of our Mishnah is certainly not Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says the Basa B'Cholav only applies to Behema. Rashi says that Kol HaBasar includes even Chayav Yof. Rashi cannot, you know, Rashi can't go all the way here. He can't include Chagovim and Dogim because look at the next phrase in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Chutzmi B'sar Dogim Chagovim. So we have two polar extremes here. We've got on one extreme Behema, and we might limit it to Behema, which is going to be the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Then we have on the other extreme Chagovim and Dogim. That has to be excluded. So the Mishnah says so, and there's no one who's going to question that. But what about the gray area in the middle? What do we do with the discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Chachomim regarding Chayav Ha'of? So Rashi says, I'm uncommitted on this. Rashi's not willing, Shalom Aleichem, to take a stand on this issue. Rashi says that even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that there's no Iser Basa B'Cholav with regard to Chayav Yof, we can still invite Rabbi Akiva into our Mishnah. We can still reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva. How do we do so? What's the trick? What's the method that Rashi employs over here? Everybody take a look at the first Rashi in Perikol HaBasar. Exactly. What word could the Mishnah have added here, which it did not, that would have given us an answer to the question about the word Asur? It says Kol HaBasar Asur. Is it Asur D'Oraisa or Asur D'Rabbanan? What word could the Mishnah have added? Possibly, but that I don't know if that exists in any Mishnah. You'll have to prove that to me. But when the Mishnah wants to tell you that we're dealing with the Torah law, what does it usually add? Chayav. What's the difference between Asur and Chayav? And this Rabosa is a methodology I think you'd apply to all Shisha Sidre Mishnah. When the Mishnah uses the word Asur, unless I know otherwise, we're talking about an Issa Darabana. But when the Mishnah wants to tell you we're talking about an Issa Doraisa, then it uses a different word, namely what? Chayav. What's the difference between Asur and Chayav? Why was the word Chayav indicative of a Doraisa? Don't all answer at once. What does the word chayav mean? Okay, if it's a chayav kares, then it's karmon. But let's say in a chayav lav, here we're not dealing with a chayav karmon. Malchus, exactly. So the word chayav means malchus. And as a general rule, it means malchus d'oraisa. There is such an animal called Malchus d'Rabbanan, that's called Malchus Maradus. But that's not what Chayav means in the Mishnah. When Rebbe used the word Chayav, he means Chayav Malchus d'Oraisa because he violated d'Oraisa. Here in this Mishnah, the word Chayav was avoided. And that is a deliberate decision that Rebbe made because he wants to invite whom into this circle of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Kol HaBasar is only the Rabbana, meaning Basar Behema is the Raisa, but Chayav Yof is only the Rabbana. No, if it's only the Rabbana, what's stated in the Mishnah is Kol HaBasar, including Chayav Yof, says Rashi. The answer is we're talking about an Issa the Rabbana. So Rashi, in a sense, wants to leave the door open here when he says, Upligi, Umiflag Pligi Balakamon. Rashi says, don't commit yourself to the opinion of the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva that Basa B'Cholav applies Midoraisa even in the case of Chayav Yof. Rashi says, you don't have to make that commitment. Our Mishnah can be equally understood according to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara quite surprisingly, again, we'll go back to the Mishnah in just a minute, but if you fast forward to the first line of the Gemara on Daf Kuf Dalet, the Gemara says, Ha'of Osir Midaraisa, Kiman Delo Karevi Akiva. The Gemara is going to take a different approach in its Havamim. Again, Rashi will be borne out by the Maskotis, so don't get too nervous about it, but you should know that this Rashi is, in a sense, misleading us, because as soon as we open the Gemara understands that Of here in our Mishnah, again, it doesn't say Of, but it says Kol HaBasar, is a Da'orais. And that means that our Mishnah was authored by the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has to be left out of our mission. The next part of the Mishnah, Rabosai, I'm going to claim, and if anybody wants to argue with me, please do so, is certainly Derabbanan. The Mishnah says, V'osor lahalos im hagvina al hashulchan. And the basar of the Reisha, which we interpret to mean Chayav Yof as well, is not allowed to be placed on the table together with what? Cheese. Together with cheese. So I want to ask you two questions here. Question number one, why not? The Torah says you can't cook meat and milk together. And the Torah repeats that three times to teach me not only you're not allowed to cook, but you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to have hadnah. But the Torah doesn't say you can't put it on the table. In fact, I don't even know if you can't put basar v'chalav on the table. Let's say somebody cooked basar v'chalav. You've got yourself a cheeseburger. Does it say you can't put a cheeseburger on the table? And that leads me to the general question in Macholos Asuras. Is there anywhere in Macholos Asuras where it says you can't put it on the table? Am I prohibited from putting the velus and treifus on the table, shkatzim v'remotzim on the table? Even the Rabbanon? Is there any prohibition, the Rabbanon, that tells me I can't put the velus, treifus, shkatzim v'remotzim on the table? There is one Iser, however, that can't be put on the table. Anybody know what I have in mind? Besides Basar B'Cholav? Chametz B'Pesach. But that's because the Torah went out of its way to tell you something which it didn't tell you in any case of Acholos Asuras other than Chametz, and that is Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Whatever that means, for that we'd have to spend a couple of months learning the first Perek of Pesachim. But Chametz is very unique. We don't find anywhere else that you have to get rid of it, you have to destroy it, you have to burn it, you can't possess it, take it off your table. That we don't find. Here we find a very unique halacha. And it only applies to basar b'chalav. But nevertheless, we're dealing with an Issur d'Rabbanan. And this Issur d'Rabbanan is called in the language of Chazal, Ha'ala. Ha'ala means to place it on the table. So the first question I want to ask you is, what were the Chachamim worried about? And you and I might say, well, you know, you got basar b'chalav on the table. Before you know it, you're going to eat it. So I have two questions on that. First of all, who's going to eat basar b'chalav? I mean, are we dealing with total amaratzim, total ignorance? And my second question is, so what if he eats it? The Torah doesn't say you can't eat basar b'chalav. The Torah says you can't cook basar b'chalav. And if you go ahead and you cook it, then you can't eat it. So now we have to be worried, number one, that he's going to take this basar and this chalav and he's going to cook it. And number two, he's going to eat it. All because he put it on the same table. Sounds a bit far-fetched to me. Question number two, well, Rashi wants to square our Mishnah even with Rabbi Akiva. In which case we're talking about Of and we're talking about Chaya. Rabbi Akiva holds that Of and Chaya is only the Rabbanah. Now you're telling me I can't put Of, I can't put chicken on the same table that I have milk in, because I might, in the worst case scenario, eat them together, cook them together, I don't know what I'm going to do together. And so what? So I violated an Issur d'Rabbanan according to Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, if Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah, then the Issur Halah, which applies to the same basar as the Reish of the Mishnah, which includes Chaya V'Yof, which is only Durabbanan, we have a classical example here of what? Gzera L'Gzera, exactly. Gzera L'Gzera. There's one Gzera in which I'm not allowed to eat basar Of B'Cholav. That itself is a Gzera. Now you have a second Gzera, I can't put basar Of and Cholav on the same table. And my next question is, since the Torah talks about Cholav, why did the Mishnah deviate from the language of the Torah and use the word Gvina? I love cheese. I always love cheese. And there's so many different types of cheeses. But why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi have to talk about cheese? Why couldn't he talk about chalav? And the answer the Rishonim I find very strange. They say that chalav is a liquid, and therefore it's placed always in a utensil. And since it's in a utensil, this gzeir of halah doesn't apply. But gvina is put on the table directly without a utensil. There's no receptacle, and therefore there's a problem of halah. What's that all about? So Rabosai, I can't answer all of those questions, but I think Rashi is addressing a number of these questions, not all of them. And Rashi says, "Va'asu lahalos, dilma asi lemichlinhu ki hadadi." So first I'm going to translate Rashi literally, and then I'm going to claim that this Rashi doesn't exist. Okay? Literally, Rashi says that you might come to eat them together. Which means that Rashi is talking about a person who's got a good piece of meat on the table, he's got a good piece of cheese on the table, and he eats them together. Well, Rabosai, when was the last... Again, we're not talking about non-religious Jews, you know, in the context of the Mishnah. You know, the Mishnah wasn't aware of our contemporary context. But even so, even a non-religious Jew, I don't think the Isur Halah is going to help this guy. You know, if he violates all the Isurim Torah, you know, he doesn't have a kosher home, I don't know if Halah is addressing that person. Let's assume, if you'll grant me that license, that Halah was instituted for you and I. We're Orthodox Jews. When was the last time you met an Orthodox Jew who ate meat and milk together? The whole thing sounds like crazy to me. But I want you to know that there is in the back of our Gemaras something called the Nemuki Yosef. And there's a Pirush Rashi that's printed on the Nemuki Yosef. In most Masechtas, it's not the Nemuki Yosef, it's the Ran. But be that as it may, it's not relevant to me. I just want to point out that there's a Rashi that's printed in the back of your Gemaras. And you may know this, that on many occasions, it's not rare, there's a discrepancy between the Rashi on the Gemara and the Rashi on the Ran. And this is in fact a case in point where there is such a discrepancy. Now, if you happen to have a Shas, which is called the Oz V'Hadar. Did anybody ever hear of that?
Yeah.
Okay? The Oz V'Hadar has now taken over as the supreme Shas. I'm sure that there'll be another cutting edge edition. I have what's called a Masifta here that uses the Oz V'Hadar. They pay good money, you know, for the rights to use the Oz V'Hadar Gemara. And on the side, they have a section here which is added based on the Oz V'Hadar called Hagos V'Tziyunim. And on this Rashi, they have a comment here that what appears in another Rashi, the Rashi of the Muki Yosef, is the following. Now take a look in our Rashi, and I will read to you what it says in the Rashi in the back. It says, V'osor lahalos, dilma kanagi ubali mihadadi. Did you notice what he left out? The entire sentence about Asi L'michli K'adadi is omitted in that version of Rashi. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I can't vouch for which, you know, Rashi was obviously copied in manuscript form for centuries until we had the printing press. And who knows which is the exact Rashi? You'd have to be a scholar from, I don't know, maybe you'd have to go to Hebrew University. I don't know where you'd find the scholar who could answer this question right now. But be that as it may, I would vouch for the second girsa. I would leave out those words. It's hard for me to believe. This is just as Arya Berzon. No one here in the room has to accept what I'm saying. You could throw rotten tomatoes at me. It's very hard for me to believe that someone sitting at a table is going to eat milk and meat bahadi hadadi, as Rashi says it, in the girsa that we have. But if you take the other girsa, Rashi's worried about something else entirely. And what is that? Dilma asi dilma kanagi ubali mahadadi. What does the word nagi mean? They'll touch each other. Ubali mahadadi. They will swallow it up, absorb. Maybe it's hot, maybe it's cold, I don't know. And therefore, Rashi might be answering our question, why gvina? Why are we talking about cheese over here? I told you the Mepharshim say, because milk is in a receptacle. Who cares if milk is in a receptacle? That's totally irrelevant to that discussion here. If the guy's going to eat the cheeseburger and he gets thirsty because it's salty, he's going to down it with a cup of milk. Kaviyokal, right? No, that he's not going to do. We're not afraid he's going to take a cup of milk and drink it with meat. Bahari adadi. Nobody would do such a thing. What are we afraid of? The touching. What's going to touch? The milk is in a receptacle. Why is it going to touch? And you should know that unless the milk is boiling hot, you know, there will be no blia from cold milk in a receptacle. Even if they touch each other, meaning, let's say I have a hot hamburger, you know, straight out, I'm getting hungry, it's straight out of the oven, right? And I attach it to my cup of milk, there's no blia over here. But if it's gvina, if it's cheese, then there's something called kedei klipa. Okay, let's just say a few words about kedei klipa, it's way off our topic. But the halacha is that when you have two solid substances, and one is hot, and one is cold, and they touch each other, which is usually called in the Lashon of Chazal, tzli, then there's always, through an negiyas tzli, a blia of kedei klipa. I mean, 90% of what I just said, it was in Hebrew, but I used one English word in the middle of that sentence. In any event, what I'm just trying to say is that there is some sort of absorption through heat of two solid objects by virtue of the fact that they touch each other. And that's what I believe Rashi is saying here, dekanagi ubali ahadadi. Again, Rabbi Osei, you look in the Mepharshim and you'll find that I'm wrong. It could be. I don't know. I'm just basing myself on one ha'ara here in the Hagos V'tziyunim of the Oz V'Hodor Shas.
Why is that? No. Leave it like that. We were just talking about Nagia between Bosser that's hot and Gvina. But still, why are they ossering that? That's a sfeik sfeiket. First of all, number one, they may not be touching. And number two, if you may eat from a part that's not kedei klipa. Number three, you may not eat altogether. I mean, there's even more sfeikas.
Right. So right now, Alan, I'm not dealing with achila. The subject of this Mishnah now is.
Yeah, I understand what it is, but...
No, you didn't answer me. You got to answer me. Subject of our mission is not achila. The subject of our mission is what? It's bishul.
It's halala.
No, I'm talking... The halala is an extension of the reish of the Mishnah. The reish of the Mishnah is not talking about achila. The reish of the Mishnah is talking about bishul. And I'm just suggesting that kedei klipa is a doraisa. What do I mean it's a doraisa? We're not dealing with the rabbanons. Again, this opens up a whole question about what is considered bishul. But if you'll grant me, and many Rishonim would grant this, that sli is called bishul.
Right.
Bishul does not necessarily require a medium of a liquid, but even two solid substances, insofar as one is hot, and therefore penetrates into the other kedei klipa, that would create basa b'chol of doraisa, and if I'd be violating bishul doraisa, if tzli constitutes bishul. Now again, Rabbi Osei, I'm not going to deny that many Rishonim would argue that tzli is not included in bishul. But I always favored the opinion, even though I'm not a machmir by my nature, that tzli is bishul for the violation of basa b'chol, and I'll tell you why. Because if you open up to the parsha of Korban Pesach, the Torah, when it talks about the Isur Tzli, talks about the word Bishul. In other words, when the Torah talks about, the mitzvah of Tzli, it uses the term Bishul. It means that from a Pentateuchal point of view, if there's such a word, from a scriptural point of view, there are two words in Lashon Kodesh that are interchangeable. Interchangeable. One is Tzli and one is Bishul. So I, for one, am an advocate of that position, that Bishul includes Tzli. And therefore, since there's through Tzli, kedei klipa, you have violated, I don't know if you get Malkus for it, because it's not a Kezias, but there may be cases where kedei klipa is a Kezias, but generally kedei klipa is less than a Kezias. But that would be included in the Isur Bishul. So Rabbosai, when Rashi understands that the Chachamim were worried about putting meat and cheese on the same table, it's not because the Jew sitting, you know, at that table is going to grab the meat and the cheese and make himself a cheeseburger. That's al da lo kaskinon, al kahai gav da lo kaskinon. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about negia and blia. And that's what I think makes the most sense in this Rashi. Again, I can't promise you that that's what Rashi himself sat down and wrote. I can promise you he wrote the second half. And by the way, I'll tell you the truth. Even if I'm not the greatest scholar on manuscripts, which I admittedly am not, how do you read the words of Rashi the way they're written? You can't even break your teeth on the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. It says, Dilma asi lemichluhu b'kiadadi dekanagi ubali. That doesn't make any bit of sense. Rashi says, if you translate it literally, he might come to eat them both together because they touch each other and they're bolea from each other. That doesn't make any sense. If he's eating them together, who cares about blia? It's nothing to do with blia.
But maybe Rashi's trying to tell you that you would not be over, which you may, probably aren't, over on Bishul Basa B'Falav if it happened by onus. In other words, you push the...
This is very sophisticated, Alpha. All right, let me give you a few more minutes to get into this. You're already talking about a very sophisticated case. Okay. Rabbosai, I want to learn with you the Tosas. Tosas says, Tema. Delotani ba'aretz u'bechutzlarz b'fnei abayis v'shalo b'fnei abayis b'chulin u'vimukdosh. I'm going to stop deliberately in the middle of a sentence for pedagogical purposes. Tosis wants to know, why didn't the Mishnah tell me three chidushim about Basa B'Cholov? It should have told me chidush number one, that Basa B'Cholov is asur not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutz Laretz. Number two, it should have told me that Basa B'Cholov is also not only as long as the Beis HaMikdash stands, calls Macha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, but even after Churban Abayis. And number three, that the Isur Basa B'Cholov applies even to Basa Mukdashim. I can't take Basa Mukdashim and cook it in milk. Basa Mukdashim means Hegdesh. Let's say I dedicated this animal to the Mizbeach, and then I shechted it and I took a piece of meat that was meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach or whatever have you, and I cooked it in milk. And if Tosas would stop here, why would we laugh at this Tosas? How could you say Tema? Why would we blow away this Tosas? Anybody? I want to get some new, Jeffrey, why would that be something that you should laugh at this Tosas? Tell me that in Silver Spring, Maryland, I'm not allowed to eat Basa B'Cholov, I can't eat a cheeseburger, Tosas says. Why did the Mishnah say that? And what's the answer?
It's in the Torah.
No, I'm saying maybe the Torah is talking to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Tosas is asking. Why didn't the Mishnah tell me that even in the state of Maryland, I'm not allowed to eat a cheeseburger? But what would you answer? You would laugh at that, Tosas. Why?
I don't
think he's not talking about it. The Torah divides into two halves. One half applies to Eretz Yisrael and one even to Chutzot. What's the difference between the first half and the second half? This is a Mishnah in Kedushin. You should know this Mishnah. Kol mitzvishi chovas. Karka, no heges be'eretz Yisrael, v'yena no heges b'chutz l'aretz. V'chol mitzvah she'ena chovas karka, no heges bein ba'aretz, u'bein b'chutz l'aretz. The Mishnah says in Kiddushin that if it's an agricultural mitzvah, then it only applies in the land of Israel. If it's not agricultural, then it applies everywhere. Where would you classify Basa B'Cholov? Is it agricultural? I'm playing a joke with you. You know, Rabbi Berzon, when you talk to me like a baby, right? Obviously, Basa B'Cholov is Macholos Asuros. It has nothing to do. We do have Macholos Asuros that are mitzvos hatlius b'karka. For example, truma for a zar is Macholos Asuros, and that's karka. It has to grow in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And Arla, which would seem to be Chovas Karka, is no Heges Bechutzlar, it's because of what's called the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. You know, we need a special Chiddush that Arla applies even in Chutzlar. But in the case of Basa B'Cholov, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to eat cheeseburgers in Maryland? What, am I nuts? And the Tosas is bothered by the fact that the Mishnah has to tell me this Chiddush? And I'll go Vaita with you. Tosis says the Mishnah should have told me that it's no Heges even after the bias. What mitzvahs are limited to the bias and only apply as long as we have Beis HaMikdash? Mitzvahs that are connected to the bias means the kiyum is in Mikdash. For example, if there's a mitzvah of Bikurim, that mitzvah only applies as long as there's a Beis HaMikdash. Because I bring my first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, put it on the Mizbeach, and so forth and so on. Of course, there are mitzvahs that apply to the Beis HaMikdash because they literally, physically are in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the mitzvah of the Levim, which is called the mitzvah of Shmiras Mikdash. You know, the Levim divided into two categories, right? They were the Shoarim and the Meshoarim. So the Meshoarim was singing in the Beis HaMikdash during the time of the Niskei Hayayin. And the Shoarim would surround the Mikdash and make sure that the gates were watched. So there are many mitzvahs that depend upon the bias, and we cannot fulfill them because we have no bias. Many mitzvahs. But Basa B'Chalav? Pretty wild. But you have to read the next few words of Tosis. This was all just a pedagogical game with you. Tosis says, K'mo B'Hanach Pirkin. Those three words are the key. Hanach Pirkin means all the prakim that came until now. We're up to the eighth parak. What happened in the first seven prakim? And we have, for example, the Isur of Gid Anoshe in the first seven prakim. We have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan in the first seven prakim. We have many, many mitzvahs. And in each case, Rebbe is very consistent. When he writes the Mishnah, he adds Bein b'migda, Bein b'fnei abayis, Bein shalom b'fnei abayis, Bein b'aris, Bein b'chutzot, Bein b'chulin, Bein b'mukdash. And here, when we get to Basa B'cholov, he drops the ball. So Tosis's question is a much more analytic question. And he wants to understand that if there's no Havamina to say otherwise, if it's absolutely crystal clear, intuitively, that this Iser of Basa V'Cholov applies, Bein V'Aretz, Bein V'Chutz L'Aretz, even in Maryland, or even in Massachusetts, once we're in the Ems, right? Or that it applies even after the Churban HaBayis, or it applies to Mukdashim that were cooked in milk, just like any other piece of meat, then if that be the case, why did the Mishnah feel compelled, time and time again, to tell me these Chidushim? Apparently, there were Havaminas to say otherwise, whatever they are, we don't know, and does that Havamina, or do those Havaminas, if there's such a phrase, Havaminas, apply here in Basa B'Cholov? There's an inconsistency in the style of the Mishnah. And that's what Tosis wants to justify. But let's go back to the first question. Was there really any Havamina to say that Basa B'Cholov might be limited in those ways? So take a look at the next few words in Tosis. Tosis says, U'betosefta tani lehu. In fact, if it's not in the Mishnah, turn to the Tosefta. The Brisa, which was left out of the Mishnah, adds these three qualifications or expansions to tell you that Basa B'Cholov applies even in Chutz La'aretz, even Shalom B'fnei HaBayis, even in Mukdash. Now we're really in a bind. Because on the one hand, if the Tosefta felt compelled to add these applications, these extensions, it must be that there was a Havamina to say otherwise. And although I could claim that there's some sort of literary style here that the Tosefta felt, you know, let's be consistent, you know, in the literary style, but you've got to find Chutz at least one case that has a Havamina to say otherwise, that the Braisa is coming to teach me some Chiddush whatsoever. V'shema, perhaps we can say the following, my dishir b'masnisin pirish b'braisa. The Brisa came to add that which was left out of the Mishnah. Meaning, since the Mishnah had done so over and over again in Gid Anoshe and other cases, the Mishnah didn't feel compelled to do it here again and again. We're getting bored of the same repetition. But the Brisa wanted to square off and make sure that we are consistent, and therefore the Brisa added it. Mashashir Hatana was added by the Brisa. But Tosa's not happy. Tosis says, you got to tell me some Chiddush. You can't just tell me, says Tosis, that the Braisa was compelled to square off the literary, you know, solidarity, the integrity of the Braisa, of the Mishnah. Vashme'inon, says Tosis. What is Vashme'inon? That's the word we have to underline here. That word, Vashme'inon, is the most critical word in this Tosis. Vashme'inon means that there is a Chiddush in this Tosefta. that there was a havmina to say otherwise. And Tosfos has to make a case for at least one situation, one din, which we would have logically, mistakenly, limited basa b'chol. Which one of the three dinim is the best candidate? Tosfos says, the chayel iser basa b'cholov a iser mukdash. I take basa mukdashim that has to be brought on the mizbeach, and I cook it in milk. Is there an iser basa b'cholov? Did I violate the iser bishul? Did I not? And Tosfos says, I might think that there's no basa b'cholov on mukdash. Why not, Rabbi Ozai? If this basa kodesh must be brought on the mizbeach, then what do I know by definition?
No one's going to eat it.
You're not allowed to eat it. Basa mukdashim is asur. Even those parts of the carbon that can be eaten, for example, in the case of shlamim, they have to be eaten to zichrei kahuna, perhaps to the bailim, or in the case of, let's say, chatos and asham, that could only be eaten, that's kachim kachim, could only be eaten by zichrei kahuna. You and I, well, I don't know if there are any kohanim here in the audience, we cannot eat it. But there are certainly parts, a murim, that have to be burnt on the mizbeach that even the kohanim can't eat. Or in the case of a carbonola, kohanim can't eat even a chatzi kipul of the basa kodesh. Is memela, if there's already an iser achila that's chal on the mukdashim, I would think that there's a certain universal principle, Rabbosai, that should kick in over here, that should undermine the possibility of adding an Iser of Basa B'Cholom once it's already Aser. And what's that called, Rabbosai? Ein Iser Chalal Isur. The seat has already been occupied. You can't add another person to sit on someone's head. We have an Iser here. The Heft is a Heft of the Isura. And you cannot impose a second Iser on it. Kamashmo on the Mishnah. Well, not the Mishnah. I have to be very careful about my language. The Brisa and the Tosefta adds a chiddush that the principle of Ein Iser Chalal Iser does not apply over here. That despite the fact that Mukdashim is Asur, I still, when I cook it in milk, add another Iser on top, a piggyback Iser, which is called Basa B'Cholov. And now, Chas V'Shalom, if I eat this meat, I violate not just one Iser, namely a Basa Mukdashim, and if you want to know what lav that is, you have to learn the third parak of Masechta Makis. Of course, the Gemara goes through various possibilities. But I also violate the Iser of Basa
Mukdashim. So why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah?
So before we get to that, let me ask you another question. Does this Tosfos make any sense? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. There's no possibility here of talking about Ein Iser Chalal Iser. I'll tell you why. This Mishnah is talking about an entirely different Iser. What's the subject of this Mishnah, Rabbi Ozai? Bishul! These are Bishul has no application to Mukdashim. Mukdashim is an Iser Achila. It's not an Iser Bishul. What is Tosfos hacking here about an Iser Chalal Isur? And this question occupied the mind of the Rashash. And the Rashash, in order to give some meaning to this Tosfos, stretches his arm out to a sugya on Daf Kuf Ches. Let's take a look for a moment, if we fast forward, to Daf Kuf Ches. Wait, I'm sorry. I think I may have made a mistake here. Just one second. Where's the sugya? Okay, now I'm blanking out here. one second. I don't have a Rosh Hashanah in front of me. Anybody have a Gemara with a Rosh Hashanah in the back? Okay, sorry. You know, the classical Shas, I don't have it in front of me. Oh, I found it. Kuvches amid be. So I was off just by an om. Okay. The Gemara Rabosai wants to know what's the deal with chelev b'cholov. Let's say I cook chelev with cholov. Would I violate the Iser of Basar B'Cholov? Chelev is part of the animal, and so far as it's part of the animal, it should be Basar. And if it's Basar, when I cook it with Cholov, I should violate the Iser of Basar B'Cholov. So the Gemara presents a Machlokas. According to one opinion in the Gemara, Loke al Achiloso, I'm sorry, loke al bishulo, v'eino loke al achiloso. Since the chelev was osur in any event, even before I cooked it with milk, therefore I apply the principle of ein iser chal al iser. And therefore I can't violate the iser achilo. Shmuel says, I don't even violate the iser bishul. So the Gemara asks, doesn't Shmuel know ein iser chal al iser? The Gemara says the following. Ein iser chal al iser, once it's chal on the iser achila, is memeil it's chal even on the iser bishul. According to Shmuel, I am alleviated from malchus by eating chelev and cholov, meaning the malchus of basar b'cholov. Of course, I'm chayv malchus for chelev. I'm even chayv more than malchus for chelev, right? But as far as basar b'cholov is concerned, I do not get malchus for basar b'cholov. Why? Shmuel agrees that ein iser chal al iser. No, but what about the bishul itself? Says Shmuel, the keva dieno lokal achiloso is eino lokal bishulo. Meaning that Shmuel operates with an interdependence between two isurim, achil and bishul. Bishul and achila are one unit according to Shmuel. And if any iser chal al iser removes the iser achila, says Shmuel Mela, it removes the iser bishul as well. Wait a minute. Says the Rashash, that's what Tosus has in mind. When Tosus says that there was a havamina, that in the case of mukdashim, I would not be in violation of basar b'cholov in our Mishnah, which is talking about which dimension of basar b'cholov? Bishul, because ein iser chal al iser. There's no iser bishul in mukdashim, says the Rashash. Even if there's no iser bishul in mukdashim, I still am. I'm going to undermine the Iser Bishul based on Ein Iser Chal Iser. Even though the Ein Iser Chal Iser is only focused on which dimension? On the Achila. But since Shmuel's principle is that Kol She'ein Aloka Al Achila Se'ein Aloka Al Bishulo, therefore since there's no Iser Achila, that undermines the Iser Bishul as well. That's how the Rashash wants to interpret this Tosfos. What do you want to say?
What about
Chelev of Chaya? Chelev of Chaya
is not
Aser. Oh, the Gemara there is talking about Chelev of Behemah, not Chelev of Chaya.
Yeah, and say, what would he say in there?
Then you would get Malchus for both Bishul and Achila, Kuli Amalo, please. I mean, the only question here is once I apply the principle of Eni Sechal Lisa, we're talking about Chelev Shal Isa. Okay, fine. The Rashbam Pirush, Rashbam has a different answer. Why would I think that, let me ask you this, why did the Braisa feel compelled to give me this whole list of expansions? Why would I have limited and circumscribed the Iser Basar B'Cholov? It has nothing to do with Mukdashim. But rather, the Eino Noeg Pirush the Itzrich Mishum the Chutz La'aretz. We're back to Maryland. The salke daitoch di eino noig b'chutz laretz. Am I crazy? Am I reading this right? I would think that there's no basa b'chol b'chutz laretz. Mishum de iskash lebikurim b'chad kro. In the same pasuk, it says reishis bikuri ad moschol, and then it says also vashel gdi b'chalev imo. So the farmer has to bring his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. Where did those fruits grow? Did they grow in Silver Spring? No, they grew in Eretz Yisrael. That's called Admoscha. I would think that since the Sefer, that same Pasuk of Reishis Bikuri Admoscha, is Lo Savashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo, that Basa B'Cholov would not apply in Maryland, just like there's no mitzvah Bikurim on Peros, Shenis Gadlu B'Maryland. And Tosus is very happy with this Rashbam. He's going to bring a proof to this Rashbam. How so? Ula Pirusho, if I accept the Rashbam, Nicha, I have an answer to a question that bothered my mind. Hadi Omer Beperek Reishis Hagetz, Di Artzacha De Bikurim Asolim Ute Chutz Laretz. Why did the Torah say Artzacha? Once we know the Bikurim is the product of the fruits of your land, I know that it's only the land of Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Torah have to add the word Artzacha? It's an extra superfluous word. So the Gemara tells us, Limu'ute chutz laretz. I have a havamina that if I'm a farmer in Maryland, I have to bring the first fruits all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, El Al is going to go up in its value. I don't know if there's stocks you can buy in El Al, but now's the time to buy more stock in El Al, because everybody and every single farmer in Nebraska is going to come on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael with his first fruits. Strange kind of havamina. The afal gav dehi mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. So says, I never understood this Gemara. You need an extra word in the Torah to tell you that bikurim is excluded, you're alleviated from bikurim in chutz laretz. What was the havamina? It's a classical case of a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz bekarka. And fitoisus itzruch mishum de iskish lebasa v'cholov. I'm going to flex the muscle of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that the fact that basa v'cholov and bikurim are brought in the same pasuk is not coincidental. It's coming for a hekesh. Now, Rabosei, now follow what's going on over here. We now have two havamines, according to Tosus, the Rashbam. We have one havamina that basa v'cholov is limited to Eretz Yisrael and it doesn't apply to chutzarts. We have another havamina that Bikurim applies even in Chutz Laretz. The one half mean is Lekula, and the other half mean is Lechumra. But it's very strange. I mean, we have a principle, Chovas Karka, Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz Laretz. That which is not a Chovas Karka is in Chutz Laretz as well in Eretz Yisrael. It comes out now that Basa B'Chov, despite the fact that it's not a Chovas Karka, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Very strange. Now we have a Havmina that Bikurim, which is a classical Chovas Karka, only applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutz Laretz. Two pile plumes of Havmina see it. And yet, keep in mind that the Tosefta, according to the Rashbam, is coming to teach us that Basa B'Cholov applies in Chutz Laretz. The Mishnah didn't bother with that. The Tosefta bothered with that. And I wonder, out loud with you, if there really is, come on, is there really a serious Havamina that there's no Basa B'Cholov in Chutz Laretz? Now, if you prove to me that the Torah went out of its way to exclude such a havamin, and the Torah added words, or even one word, or one letter, to tell me that that's not correct, then by golly, the rules of the game is that's a bona fide havamin. And that's serious. But did the Torah add any word whatsoever in order to teach me that Basa B'Cholov is noeg even in Chutz Laretz? No. Who added such words? The Tosefta. There really is no havamina, no serious possibility of arguing that Basa V'Cholov is limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's absolutely insane, it's ridiculous. But you know what? The Tosefta came to the Beis Medrash, and a Talmud raised his hand in the Shir. And he said, Rebbe, how do you know know that Basar B'Chalav is in Chutz Laretz? So the Rebbe smiled at the Talmud and he says, what, are you joking with me? Come on, I would throw you out of the base measure for such a comment. That's not a Hava Amina. A serious Talmud wouldn't raise such a possibility. So you know what? The Talmud was shaking in his pants because the Rebbe is accusing him of it. And all he could do was lift up a Chumash and point to the Pasuk. That's the best he could do. And the Pasuk says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Moscha Lo Savashal Gedi B'Chalev Imo. So the Rebbe told me, no. That's not how you learn it. The Hekesh goes in the other direction. The Hekesh is coming to tell you that Reishis Bikuri Ad Moscha applies even in Chutz Laretz, like Arla, like Chala, like other mitzvahs HaTlius B'Karka. That was a bona fide Hava. Why? Because at the end of the Pasuk, the finale of Bikuri Ad Moscha is Lo Savashal Gedi B'Chalev Imo. The Lo Savashal Gedi is coming to illuminate the Chiyuv Mitzvah of Bikurim. So the Talmud says, Rebbe, are you serious? I've been farming here in Bavel for the last 20 years. I got to bring my Reishis Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash? No, says the Rebbe. You don't have to do that. You know why? Because the Torah added the word Artsach. That was a bona fide Havamina. There was never a Havamina of any serious proportions that in Chutz Laretz we are alleviated from the Iser of Basar B'Chalav. That was a serious Havamina of a Talmud in his Rebbe's class when he said, but Rebbe, Shtetin Pasuk, Bikuri Ad Moscha, Lo Savashal Gedi. Maybe we should equate them and say that just like Bikurim is limited to Eretz Yisrael, so too Basar B'Chalav is limited to Eretz Yisrael. So that the Tosefta says is not correct. That's not how you learn the Pasuk. Basar B'Chalav, like all Machalos Asuras, is not totally Bekarka, and it applies anywhere in the world. But when they came to the conclusion that, wait a minute, maybe Bikurim could apply even in Chutz Laretz, that was already a serious Havamina. So serious that the Torah had to add an extra word, lafuke, to exclude from that. Okay, Rabbi, we'll have mincha now.